Good morning. Good morning. Oh, turn it on. Look at this technology. Interesting. Good morning. I'd like to call this land board meeting to order, and I'd note that all members of the Board of Land Commissioners are present. For the record, this is an historic meeting as we gather in Pueblo on the Flathead Reservation, the ancestral land of the Salish, Kootenai, and Pend'oreille tribes. It's an honor for us to be here today in the shadow of the Mission Mountains and nearby Flathead Lake. Thank you to all of our friends for allowing us this opportunity. With that, I'm sure we've all had an opportunity to review the minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We have a relatively short agenda today. The first action item is six timber sales. Without objection, we'll take all six together. Director?
Governor and board members, just also in recognizing the employees that prepared these six proposals are in the audience today, so if you have any real tough questions, you probably have And I also want to thank all the tribe for hosting the university and its both the land board today as well as its cultural training over the today and tomorrow. So with that, first timber sale is the Dirty Donovan timber sale located 15 miles east of Missoula. Estimated revenue is $127,246,000, 2.5 million board feet. There will be construction of 2.6 miles of new and permanent road. There was some concerns raised as to access by two landowners. We recommend the approval of the Dirty Donovan timber sale. It's hard for me not to say Dirty Dozen, but that's okay. Next one is Good Martin, Flathead County, $534,240. This is located 11 miles northwest of Whitefish. Estimated volume 3.7 million board feet. It is within the habitat conservation plan and complies with the HCP. Again, 11.1 miles of road maintenance, 0.14 miles of temporary road construction. We recommend the Good Martin timber sale. Next, you'll find the Hoffman Gulch Limited Access timber sale, and you will remember limited access meaning that we have to access that through a piece of property and with the permission of the landowner. The Hoffman Gulch Limited Access timber sale is located approximately 12 miles southeast of Dillon, six harvest units, 146 acres, 650,000 feet. We recommend the approval of the Hoffman Gulch Limited Access sale. And the North Meadow timber sale is approximately 10 miles south of Happy's Inn, which of course we all know where Happy's Inn is, in the Sanders County. It is to bring in $74,943. It's 1.3 million board feet. Again, we recommend the North Meadow timber sale. And then the Osler Limited Access timber sale, Flathead County. $149,325, located approximately 2 miles northwest of Marion. The sale includes three harvest units, 105 acres. It's a seed tree, and we recommend approval of this timber sale as well. With that, those are the six timber sales.
Is there any public comment on any of the timber sales? Any public comment? Is there a motion?
I move item 416-1, timber sales A, B, C, D, E, and F.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
I have a question.
Go ahead. Ladies first.
Oldest goes first. Okay. I have a question. In my notes, it says two landowners voiced concerns regarding aesthetics, logging traffic, water quality issues, noise, and access. All concerns were directed toward a DNRC section that borders a landowner's property. I don't understand that.
Governor, members of the land board, my name is Sonia Gurman, the Forest Management Bureau Chief with Montana DNRC. And Secretary, we've been working with some of these landowners on two distinct timber sales, and Debbie Donovan is one of those timber sales near Wallace Creek. There were some concerns with adjacent landowners, and also one who does not have permanent access through our one of our sections, that we would not be providing access to that person in the future. And it's actually more pertinent to a timber sale that we'll be bringing this time next year. Dirty Donovan, we have access actually out through Ashby Creek, which will take us north out of Potomac. And so some of those concerns that I may have brought up during the landlord staffers meeting have actually been allayed through our other access point. Any other questions?
Before I turn over, Sonia, while I have you up here, and as the director said, it's kind of a unique opportunity because the individuals that have actually worked here on these are here. Just since we have a larger group, it might be good to explain how we name timber sales. And maybe the gentleman or lady that named this Dirty Donovan could provide an explanation of why that's the case.
We really do want an explanation.
Governor Al and members of the land board, I'll take the heat on that one. We have one of our foresters over here, Scott. Scott, would you like to come up?
Sure.
Okay.
So it's individual foresters that get to name it?
Yes. So individual foresters get to name this, and they usually do it with place-based names. And with creeks or ridges or lakes, so that's typically what's used.
Mr. Donovan, could you could you explain how you came up with the name for this?
It's pretty simple, actually. It's at the head of Dirty Ike Creek and Donovan Creek. So
that's great. And for the record, that's Scott Allen, right? Thanks, Scott.
Nice job, Scott.
Additional questions, Attorney General Fox.
Thank you, Governor. Two things, I guess. The first one is for those that don't have the packet of materials in front of them that I have, and those that aren't with DNRC who maybe worked on these, it doesn't escape us here on the land board that every one of these sales is in the Aboriginal territory of the very people whose homeland we sit on today. And that underscores, I think, the importance of some of the training that we're going to be having on cultural resources, and also the dialogue that the State Trust Lands Division and this board has with our Native peoples across Montana on these important issues. But I thought that was something important to note. And then secondly, I've had the pleasure of being out in the field with our great foresters and others, and with the governor's permission, if they could just stand so we could recognize them, I truly think the DNRC and the State Trust Lands Division is probably the best-run, best-operated division in public service other than the Montana Department of Justice.
Can we have them stand so we can recognize
them? Next, would the foresters stand? Thanks. Other questions or comments from members of the board? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. Let's go to the next action item, which is a number of easements. Without objection, we'll take them together.
Land board, there is a list of easements on page 3096. They include Historic County, new telecommunications, wastewater pipeline. That is a very important one that is going to connect the community on the other side of the river from Glendive to a sanitary sewer, and a very expensive project. Oil and gas pipelines, telecom cooperatives. We did remove one from the agenda, as you can see, public request for public testimony, and we will have that up at the next board's agenda in May. With that, we recommend the right-of-way applications for approval.
Thanks, Director Tubbs. Is there any public comment on any of the easements and rights-of-way? Any public comment? Is there a motion?
I'll move 416-2.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion passes. Now we'll go to information item 416-3, the forest insect and disease update.
Our staff will present.
Great, thank you. Governor Lambert, I appreciate the opportunity to be here today to give an update on forest insects and diseases. My name is Amy Gannon. I'm a forest entomologist with the Forestry Division, and I too have a handout to give. Some of you already have it.
Is this it?
Yeah. Thank you. I handed out the 2015 Montana Forest Health Highlights. This will be an overview of the five organisms I wish to talk about and give as a highlight today to the land board. I'm going to talk a little bit about mountain pine beetle. By now, we are all very familiar with mountain pine beetle. Since the beginning of the outbreak in approximately the year 2000, pine trees have been killed in Montana over 6 million acres. Overall, the outbreak is waning. Nonetheless, in 2015, mortality was detected on over 174,000 acres of pine trees in Montana. Most of that was in the southern Bitterroot and in the Big Hole Valley. Mountain pine beetle is not the only bark beetle that's active in Montana forest. Doug fir beetle is increasingly prevalent throughout the range of Douglas fir in the state. It primarily attacks scorched trees, trees that are stressed by overstocking, spruce budworm defoliation, and root disease. You'll see that there's a fair amount of Doug fir beetle indicated in red on the watershed map that we have in the centerfold. Spruce budworm is also continuing to defoliate. Those of you who spend a fair amount of time in Helena are all too familiar with spruce budworm. It is considered chronic in that area. There's over 1.2 million acres that were defoliated in 2015 by spruce budworm. Spruce budworm does not outright kill the trees like bark beetles do, but with enough defoliation, chronic defoliation, you can see mortality. If you've driven over Fletcher Pass or Rogers Pass, even McDonald's Pass, you've seen mortality from western spruce budworm. These organisms are clearly depicted on that centerfold watershed map. Liz Hertz from the GIS lab with the DNRC put this together, and she used the USGS HUC-6 watershed. Some of the names may be a little bit different than what you may be used to calling them when you're talking about watersheds in Montana. For example, the Pend'Oreille watershed is often referred to as the Clark Fork. In this map, the most damaging agent in Montana forest is actually not represented. That's because root disease is very difficult to detect from the air. There's a picture of it on the back page, a nice armillary fan in Douglas fir. A recent study estimated that over 3 million acres of forest in Montana is infected with root disease. And generally, it is said that root diseases claims more timber volume than fire and bark beetles combined. It doesn't make the headlines, but it is prevalent on Montana forest, and it really shapes the species structure and composition. Armillaria is one of the most important species that we work with quite often. It's really prevalent in the most susceptible species, which are Doug fir and Grand fir. Ponderosa pine and larch are considered to be the most resilient. So when you look at a land board timber sale and you see a prescription that's working in root disease, you will often see that they're promoting larch and ponderosa pine in those stands. Many sales have been brought forth to the land board with exactly that prescription. There are other diseases as well. Tomentosis is a root disease that infects spruce. There was a campground north of Whitehall, Jumping Creek Campground, which was closed due to the high hazard of those spruce trees that were infected with tomentosis. Trees that are infected with root disease easily tip over. You don't want large spruce tipping over in areas where there are children playing, campgrounds, picnic tables. It's a really bad scenario. So the Forest in Focus Initiative funded a project to clean up the infected trees to promote early sterile species that are not necessarily vulnerable to tomentosis root disease and to ultimately reopen a very popular campground. Another Forest in Focus grant was recently awarded in the Mission Valley to address root disease on private lands that were infected with armillaria. Last week, Governor, you addressed MESAC, the Montana Invasive Species Advisory Council, and I appreciate your dedication to non-native invasive species in Montana. There's a fair amount of attention that's given to aquatic organisms and terrestrial weeds, and that is warranted given the incredible threat to our agricultural and water resources in Montana. Nonetheless, our forest resources are also at threat, at stake to lose a lot from non-native invasive organisms. We are doing a statewide survey to look for bark beetles, non-native invasive bark beetles. We're doing an early detection and rapid response to find bark beetles that have come in through firewood. There are a lot of organisms that are here, forest pests, that have been here for a long time. Namely, one of them is white pine blister rust. On the back of this brochure, you will see a beautiful white pine blister rust canker. It is devastating, a truly devastating disease that has wiped out five needle pines throughout the Intermountain West, including western white pine, limber pine, and white bark pine. White bark pine is a critical high elevation ecosystem species. It's been particularly hard hit in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. White bark pine provides habitat for wolverines and grizzly bears. It's a really important species for snowpack retention, which affects our water runoff and affects us lower in the watershed where we rely on water for drinking and agriculture. So this has a tremendous impact. There's a lot of management efforts. A lot of tribal forestry, Forest Service, DNRC are working very hard to restore white bark pine as possible in the high elevation ecosystems. So this overview is in no way exhaustive. The foresters in the audience, they can easily each come up with their five favorites. A lot of them will include root diseases, one that they work with quite a bit. I do welcome the land board and members of the audience to contact me with any questions and also to share your observations on this. Forests are dynamic. We need to deal with the insects and diseases that are constantly shaping the forest. But through thoughtful management, we can ensure viable forests for future generations. With that, I'll take any questions and I thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Amy, and it's great how you say all foresters would have a top five favorites. When it comes to bugs and problems, you've always been certainly one of my favorites. As you know, mountain pine beetle isn't the crisis that it once was. What do you attribute the change from 1 point up to 6 million acres to now only, 150,000 or so?
Yeah, so it's 174,000 acres that we're detecting now. And primarily the reason for that reduction is host depletion. If you've driven over Homestake Pass, I mean, yeah, there's still probably about 10% of the lodgepole pine made it through. But overall, mountain pine beetle has really come through and wiped out quite a bit of the susceptible pine. Mountain pine beetle really hits trees that are between 80 and 120 years old. Back in the 80s, the northwest part of the state was hit pretty hard by mountain pine beetle, so they didn't get hit as hard in this outbreak. But post depletion is.
Thanks, Amy. Other questions?
Amy, is it too much to hope for that mountain pine bark beetle has kind of gone through Montana and is just leaving us?
Be an optimist, Amy.
Yeah.
Come on.
So it's still pretty.
Just say yes. Make me happy. This is my last year on land board.
You won't be dealing with it too much more on the land board, unless you're working a lot in white bark pine. So yes, but we will see another outbreak of mountain pine beetle. It's a part of the forest ecology in Montana. Trees will become susceptible again in the future. The hope, though, is that through thoughtful management and proactive management, we're not having homogenous stands of 80 to 120-year-old trees across a landscape that can get wiped out all at once by mountain pine beetles. So we can diversify, and we can diversify by age class and species, and the foresters that are in the audience today are spending a fair amount of time addressing exactly that. So hopefully we won't have it on as large scale of an outbreak in the future. So, yes.
Any other questions for Amy? Sir?
Amy, how successful was the DNRC's management of the lodgepole pine outbreak?
The question was, how successful was DNRC's management of the lodgepole pine outbreaks?
I should put that back on Jeff Collins and foresters within Trust Lands. It was variable. In some areas, it was really effective. It's quite an art, and I shouldn't be speaking of this. One of the foresters should be speaking, but the art of thinning lodgepole is truly an art. You can easily open up the stand too much and have it susceptible to blow down. In some areas, we saw great success with proactive management, but often if we were getting into stands when the beetle had already started, it's really difficult to stop it. But through diversification and thoughtful thinning, it can be really helped. And I wonder if that's the answer Jeff was looking for. Can I answer your question?
Yeah. Would you like me to pose the question to you, Jeff? Or?
Yes.
I thought we captured some value, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Any additional questions? Well, thank you very much for your presentation.
And Governor, I would just also, Amy's done an outstanding job on the All Invasive Species Council, and we really appreciate her help, not just for the forest perspective, but her help in invasive species in Montana. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's one of those people I'd like to spend one day in her brain, but probably not two. Now it's time for opportunity for public comment for items that were not otherwise on the agenda. Is there any public comment? Any public comment?
I'll make one comment. If you're going to bring the land board and host them in another city, it's good to pay your employees. So. Thanks for the honest.
Thanks, Director. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Land board meeting is adjourned. Will we take a slight break before we start the next phase? Yep. We'll take a few minutes break. And thank you again so much for joining us at this land board meeting. Nobody ever applauds.
Not since Otter
Creek. Everybody's going to take a break.